Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, you want to guess what it's been like here this week? You want any idea on what it's been like for the fan base and this team after the way they played in week one? Any idea?
Are we counting the days until the Florida Panthers start skating? Is that what we're doing?
Going for their third championship? No, we're not quite there yet. No, we're not there. But everybody wants to know here. Mike, how do you think they bounce back against this New England Patriots team? He's right about one thing. They can't play any worse than this, what Mike said.
He said it can't get worse, and he should talk to Joe Philbin about whether or not it can get worse, because Philbin lasted four games in 2015, and it feels like it's on that track. I love Mike McDaniel, but, man, I want to see a little more fire from him. I want to see something more than that flatline, chill demeanor after they get their asses kicked. There needs to be something from the coach that tells the world this is not acceptable and it will not continue. And initially I was troubled by the fact that there was a players-only meeting after only one game. Michael talked this through within the past hour on PFT Live, and probably made a good point. With all of the outside noise and all of the different avenues for getting information, social media and whatnot, it is possible that you could have had players after that game who just decide, you know what, I get paid, I'm going to collect my check, I'll worry about finding a non-dysfunctional team next year, I just want to get through this season, forget about this team, I'll focus on me. And it's good that they made sure everybody's on the same page. The problem is, weren't they on the same page going into week one? They'd been 1-0 every year that McDaniel had been the head coach. And to come out like that, to come out and get embarrassed on the road against a team that, I don't know how good, maybe the Colts are going to be a juggernaut this year, and maybe anyone would have been blown out in the first game of the season. I find that hard to believe, that the Colts that quickly become a dominant team. This told me more about the Dolphins, and the wheels are quickly coming off for this team. And this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Patriots to come to town, where the Dolphins have beaten them 7 of 8 times in Miami. But, man, if they lose this one,
oh boy,
uh-oh.
You know it's coming up Thursday night, right, at Buffalo to follow. So, yeah, this one has got some serious. Hey, I want to ask you another one tied to this. The NFL investigation with domestic violence, it's obviously going on for Tyreek Hill. How long do those things take? Is this thing that goes all year, or is this just going to be hanging around, or what are your thoughts?
Well, there's not a whole lot of transparency from the NFL or consistency when it comes to domestic violence investigations, personal conduct policy review. And this was all sparked by allegations contained in court filings in the ongoing divorce case between Tyreek Hill and his estranged wife. The league will look into it. There were 8 incidents that she cited. The first question is, will she cooperate? The league has no subpoena power. It can't force anyone who isn't employed by a team or by the league office to cooperate. So if she says, I'm not talking to you, this goes nowhere.
That's it, right.
If she does, and the league believes her and talks to Tyreek and doesn't believe him, he's got a problem. And then what would happen is the league would propose a punishment. They would try to negotiate an agreed suspension if it rises to that level. And all it takes is one proven incident at a low standard, probable cause, more likely than not. Not even more likely than not. It's a low standard for the NFL to conclude that a guy is guilty of what he was accused of. That's when it goes to Judge Sue L. Robinson. She has a hearing. There are appeal rights. This could take some time to resolve, but it's going to hang over his head the entire time until it is resolved. But it all starts with whether or not she is willing to cooperate with the league. But if she is, and if she is interviewed, and if she can provide a compelling factual account that bolsters the claims that were made and court documents that were signed off on by her lawyers, he does have a problem. And the Dolphins have a problem, especially as it relates to the potential for trading him if and when the wheels come off. Because I was saying a week ago, he's going to be the Devontae Adams of the 2025 season if the Dolphins find themselves not contending because he's not going to be there next year. Let's get what we can. We get a third round pick, a second round pick, whatever. Let's get something and move on. That is going to be harder to do with this unresolved personal conduct policy issue.
Yeah, this thing it could be hanging around. Meanwhile, he's outside and 4 catches for 40 yards, and his sidekick had 4 for 30 yards. That thing's got to get rolling. I was just curious, what do you think of Tua? Some are blaming the offensive line. It's not Tua's fault. I thought Tua played terrible.
Well, when a guy who used to be on the team in Xavien Howard says after the game that we knew that the way you play Tua is you take away his first read and he goes into panic mode, that's not just based on film study. That's based on Xavien Howard spending time with the Dolphins and seeing what happens with Tua. So, you know, when the offense runs as it's designed, when the plays are working as they're designed, it's fine. The difference between the good quarterbacks and the great quarterbacks, Joe, the great quarterbacks will make something happen on the fly when the play that's called and designed isn't there. And Tua, you know, falls into that category with Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and other quarterbacks who don't have the overall skill set like a Mahomes, like a Josh Allen, like a Lamar Jackson, like a Joe Burrow to improvise and to get out of once the play started and we realize, this play's going nowhere. We got to make something else good happen. That didn't happen on Sunday. And Xavien Howard's experience is that's the key. You take away read number one and the play goes sideways. That's not good for Tua. And there's going to be a lot of questions that emerge over whether or not $53.1 million was the right number. I go back to the conversations we had when Tua was coming up on his fifth-year option and they're talking about giving him a long-term contract and that number comes up. Like, well, was anybody else going to pay him that? If he was a free agent, was anybody getting him $53 million a year? And look, that's not an anti-Tua take. That's a reflection of where he fits in the overall quarterback hierarchy. There's too many quarterbacks who aren't among the best quarterbacks in the league who were paid as if they are. Whether it's Tua, whether it's Goff, and there are others who fall into that category. And if they're not earning that money once they've gotten it, the team's got a problem because you got a huge cash obligation, right, a huge cap obligation that is going to affect your team. And look, if they clean house and they start fresh after the season, they're still financially committed to Tua for one more year. Even if they don't have to play him, they have to pay him. That's, and that's right, going to be an anchor that makes that job less attractive. That's the thing to remember. If Stephen Ross is trying to hire a new coach after this season, and if you want a coach who has options, one of the negatives for going to Miami is I got a quarterback I don't really want, and I'm stuck with him financially for at least 1 year.
By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, never disappoints when Josh and Lamar, I mean, seriously, and you're going, wow, I know it looks great on paper. And then they play and you're like, holy crap, it's everything it was supposed to be. It's like you said, when things break down, Josh and Lamar make plays, keep things alive, and supporting cast, unbelievable comeback for the Bills. That one's going to be hard to beat anytime this year with all the great matchups we have.
Well, and to have a week one game that will resonate into January, because if all things are equal when the dust settles, that means that the Ravens will have to go back to Buffalo at some point in the year that they're closing out the stadium they've played in for 50-plus seasons. And there's this extra emotion, there's extra urgency, there's extra intensity. And we've got these two teams that are a level below the Chiefs, at least historically. Who knows if they've closed the gap or if the Chiefs have regressed, but advantage Buffalo that they were able to turn that loss into a win. Because that win in the standings, when we are 17 weeks from now figuring out the playoff tree, that's going to help the Buffalo Bills. And let me add one thing after we watched Micah Parsons last night and what he's been able to do already to the Green Bay Packers. I am astounded, Joe. Dan Glazer reported this over the weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Cowboys wanted to trade Parsons to an AFC team, and they found no takers. How in the hell were the Bills and the Ravens not at the front of the line? If the Ravens had Michael Parsons last Sunday night, I don't think Josh Allen accomplishes that comeback, because he's got everything accelerated because Michael Parsons is blasting through the line and in his face. So it was a myth by every team in the AFC that says it wants to get to the Super Bowl to not take advantage of an opportunity to get a guy who could have made the difference, because it already looks like he's going to make a big difference for Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree. Watching that game last night, you know what he does? It's so funny. I had a bunch of stuff to ask you. He gets blocked for a second. You go, hey, that tackle's in good position. And he gets off the guy and gets a pressure out of it, where most guys get blocked. It's like, okay, I'll start jumping up and down in the throwing lane, or I'm done for this one. That guy, there's still something to happen after that motor starts back up faster than anything I have ever seen. He is truly a physical freak of talent.
Yes. Joe, he got triple teamed on at least one play that I noticed last night. He was being held by Laremy Tunsil after the play. Tunsil had his hand under the shoulder pad and had it there, holding him after the play. And there was a play where he got a sack in the second half where Josh Connerly Jr., the rookie right tackle, was flagged for holding. That should have been attempted holding. Right. Because what Josh Connerly did not impede Micah Parsons at all.
Yeah, no, it's he seems happy being there. It's just it's been a good fit so far. Hey, speaking of that, we got Eagles at the Chiefs. It's hard to imagine the Chiefs going 0-2 as part of that story. And the second part is the Eagles, no matter what they think, no matter how good Saquon Barkley is and Jalen Hurts and the leaders and all the nice things being said, if they don't get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith involved in that offense, they will have problems even if they win 14 or 15 games.
Well, that's the thing. A.J. Brown, after one game where he got his first target after the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, and it was a key play. Nick Sirianni talked about this the other day. Well, you know, it was a second down play. It was second and 11. He gained 8 yards. He set us up to make a key third down that was the thing that allowed us to end the game and run out the clock. And that was a big contribution. And he was a good teammate. That's fine for 1 week,
yeah.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You lose a game along the way and A.J. Brown's not involved, you're going to have a problem, because great receivers want to be involved. But look, I know both teams have changed since Super Bowl 59, but I went back and looked at the breakdown play by play, score by score, because we see 40-22 as the final score of the game, and that enters the record books. As you know, there was a time when I knew the final score of every Super Bowl. It's kind of become a blur for me in recent years, but 40-22 is the permanent record for that game. It wasn't that close.
No,
Joe, it was 40-6 in garbage time. Mm. And the Chiefs picked up a couple of cheap touchdowns to make it look somewhat respectable. The Eagles destroyed them, dismantled them in the Super Bowl. And now, week two, home opener, after playing a game in Brazil and losing the kind of game that the Chiefs always win, they have to come back and face the Eagles again. And yeah, they could be starting off 0-2. And hey, wow. one of those teams ahead of them in the AFC West, either the Chargers or the Raiders, is guaranteed to be 2-0, barring a tie, because they're both 1-0 and they play each other on Monday night.
Amazing. Just incredible. I got to get you with this one too. Steelers and Jets. What a great game. I mean, that thing ended up being one hell of a game. Jets looked great offensively, and Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if his wife was able to make it to the game or not, but I got to tell you, he played really well. Anyway, I had to get that in.
If you had shown me the list of all the games of last week and you had said one of these games is going to have a final score of 34-32, the last game I would have picked to be that high scoring with Steelers-Jets. And while it was good that Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns, no picks, 28th time in his career, matching Tom Brady for the all-time record for that kind of a day, he still needed a 60-yard field goal from Chris Boswell to avoid going 0-1. I don't know what folks in Pittsburgh would have thought to have Aaron Rodgers have such a great performance and to lose to the Jets.
Man.
You look at the schedule this year for the Steelers, 2 against the Ravens, 2 against the Bengals. They've got the Bills. They've got 8 games that you look at and say, I don't know about those.
Yeah.
And if they would have lost to the Jets, man, it would have been just a weird, like, hey, we got a guy who can play quarterback, but our defense stinks. Our running game stinks. They got a lot of work to do to get on the right track. I think they will on Sunday against the Seahawks. These first 3 games for the Steelers, it goes Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, and then they go to Ireland to play the Vikings. Those first 3 games, they've got to win because they've got some tough games coming up.
Before I let you go, all right, now that you've seen the Dolphins in one game, do they bounce back in week 2 to take care of the Patriots?
Well, they have to. I picked them to win. They have to. this is exactly what they need to get on the right track. And we'll find out. We'll find out how the players really feel. We'll find out if any of that talk is backed up by something tangible. And I had that criticism earlier in the week that the Dolphins are this team that just always talks and talks and talks about how things are going to change. I said that they're the guy that says, I'm going to go to the gym every day starting tomorrow, and they never go. Right? We want to see something to match the talk. And
yes,
there was plenty of talk this week. Let's see what they can do at home against the Patriots. They've done well against the Patriots, 8-2 this decade, 7 out of 8 at home, as I said earlier. But they've had trouble with Mike Vrabel. So we'll see what Mike Vrabel has cooked up for the Dolphins. But if they don't win this one, Joe, man, you got to start looking at the schedule to see at what point the Joe Philbin plan gets activated and there's an interim head coach for the rest of the year. And I know that sounds harsh, and I know it's a big deal for a coach to get fired, but there's 25% turnover in the entire league every year. That's how it goes. That's one of the reasons they pay head coaches a lot of money, because you step into this job that you know can end at any time. And how could Stephen Ross not already be thinking, do I have to make a change at some point this season?
I don't think you're crazy. I think everybody's thinking the same thing, how important these next few weeks are for those guys, both the head coach and GM, to keep their job. Hey, Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
See you, Joe.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.